Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Lubin, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the New York Knicks by a score 128-92. This game was never close from start to finish. The Knicks, who, you know, they're the Knicks. Like, no one expects anything of the Knicks. This is a, you know, a comically inept team, and they're playing the second night of a back-to-back, and they're basically tanking for Zion. There's nothing else that they want to do this year. They want to lose every single game. And yet, even for their standards, this was a bad, bad performance. I wouldn't say that the Knicks received favor from the officials, but I think, honestly, the referees kind of took pity on the Knicks tonight because they gave them 32 free throws to supplement an otherwise horrendous effort from the Knicks offensively. They shot 33% from the field and 22% from deep, and they were just as bad defensively. The Raptors were just getting anything they wanted. It was just one, two, three passes in a row, and the Knicks would be giving them a wide-open three or a layup. And yeah, I mean, the Knicks, they were bad. And this was after, you know, probably their best game of the season in terms of just the elation that came out of Mario Hezonja blocking LeBron James at the buzzer at MSG, LeBron sizing up Hezonja. You thought it was going to be another one of those game three against OG Anunoby, you know, leaning towards the left, floating bank shots to win it at the buzzer. But no, it was Mario Hezonja blocking LeBron. That's how much LeBron has fallen over the last calendar year or so. But yeah, the Knicks, they showed none of that fight today against the Raptors. The Raptors had 73 points at halftime, and the Knicks, They didn't show any fight. They started the third quarter. The Raptors got an 8-0 run in the first minute of the third quarter. David Fizdale was disgusted. He pulled a Greg Popovich and benched all five starters, brought in a fresh five. And what did that fresh five do? They gave up another 10-2 run. The Raptors, they steamrolled the Knicks. And this is a Raptors team that didn't have Kawhi Leonard, who was load managing the second out of a back-to-back. They didn't have Serge Ibaka, who was serving the third game of his three-game suspension. But the Raptors just rolled over the Knicks. Now, before I go into the many positives that went into this performance, because the Raptors, you know, despite the fact that it was really poor opposition, you know, they were very, very impressive in their own right, and the Raptors deserve a lot of credit for what they did. However, the biggest story coming out of this game was that Kyle Lowry, you know, injured now his right ankle. He had just missed the last two games prior to this one, after he suffered a left ankle injury against the Cavaliers. And now in this game, in the third quarter with about 5 minutes and 15 seconds left, Kyle's going up for a rebound with Knicks rookie Mitchell Robinson, who was in foul trouble all night. That guy just, he's promising he could really block shots. He's really athletic. But, you know, he's also very foul prone. He's like a young Amir Johnson with actual hops and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, Robinson just decided to randomly contest for a rebound with Kyle after Kyle had already secured the ball. So, and he was already turned up the court. And, you know, maybe it was just a moment of frustration for Robinson. Maybe he was trying to show some hustle and effort to impress his coach, who, like I said earlier, had benched his entire starting lineup because they gave no effort whatsoever. Yeah, Robinson decides to dive across Lowry's body and ended up rolling over both his ankles. It was the right ankle that got injured after, you know, Kyle had missed two games with the left ankle. Kyle immediately is down on the ground. He's pounding the floor. It's, you know, very scary scenes for a second. He does eventually limp to the locker room, and it seems like, at least for the moment, that the Raptors have avoided any serious injuries, although I'm sure the Raptors will do more tests after tonight. The initial prognosis from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN was that the injury was quote-unquote not believed to be serious. However, you know, Kyle admitted after the game that he's very, very sore, and, you know, chances are pretty good that he'll miss some time. And it's disappointing they'll miss some time because the Raptors really only have two more you know, actual competitive games left on the schedule. If you look at the rest of the Raptors' schedule, they're playing a lot of teams that are basically 500 or worse in the rest of the season. The only two games that are actually of any value are probably the next two against Oklahoma City, where they're playing a back and a home and home. You know, one first in OKC on Wednesday, and then a Friday in Toronto, and those two games really were going to be looked at as sort of, you know, measuring stick games. How do the Raptors look heading into the playoffs? Because that's literally about it. The rest of the schedule was like playing the Bulls, the Knicks, the Magic. Like, it's just, you know, throwaway game, Charlotte. It's unfortunate. I doubt Kyle plays in any of the two OKC games. Maybe, I think definitely not the next one on the road. That one, it's going to be on national television, but just the way Kyle rolled his ankles and how much he was limping after the game and stuff like that, I just don't think that that's entirely realistic. And I'm not even sure if the next one is realistic either, even the one at home on Friday. But hopefully Kyle is okay, because look, Kyle, you know, is the straw that stirs the drink. He is the Raptors. Not the most important player, but the most impactful in terms of just, he's by far the best passer on the team. He makes so many little plays that, you know, helps connect the rest of the players. He sets the, you know, the pace for the team. He's been the Raptors' best 3-point shooter over the last couple of weeks here. He's really come alive with the three ball. Today he was, 5-9 from deep. So that's, you know, it's sort of Kyle's been, after struggling with his shot when he had a bad back in December, he's been really good from three-point land as well. So it's just really disappointing. And overall, it's just disappointing for the team that, you know, they just can't seem to get everyone healthy at once, right? They finally get Fred back. Fred looks amazing. Fred is playing great basketball today. Fred VanVleet, 13 points, 12 assists on 5-9 shooting in 28 minutes, plus 33. Like, he was really, really good. And he was obviously really good against Detroit as well in his first game back. And you had just hoped that, you know, look, with Serge coming back from injury, no more back-to-back, so Kawhi's probably playing the rest of the year. You were just really looking forward to seeing the Raptors at full strength, get some chemistry, get some continuity, and then all of a sudden you get Mitchell Robinson randomly diving for a ball where, honestly, Kyle even said that the play was a little bit dirty. And when you look at the replay, I wouldn't necessarily go as far as say dirty, but it was definitely reckless and completely unnecessary. The Knicks were down 34 points at the time. What are you doing at that point fighting for a rebound that you lost? Other than it's just fake hustle, really. It's just fake hustle. And it ended up costing the Raptors you know, some time in terms of Kyle Lowry's health. There was some immediate reaction in terms of you know, Nick Nurse leaving Kyle in the game during that moment. And some people were saying that Nurse should have had Lowry out. Obviously, that's easier, you know, said in hindsight, but also it's not unusual for a player to still be in the game with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Now, the game was out of reach for sure. It wasn't like Nick was trying to preserve any victory. It wasn't anything like that. But I mean, it's, you know, players got to get their minutes. And really, it looked like Nick was about to call timeout. I mean, usually about 5 minutes left, that's usually where you would call the first timeout, you know, just to sort of, you know, just. Even just a TV timeout, like, it's just that would usually be the time for that. And you know, I guess Nick was waiting to see what Kyle was going to do, bringing the ball up the floor, and it was just unfortunate that play happened. But look, Kyle had played 26 minutes. This was not Nick Nurse being reckless. This was just, you know, stuff happens, right? This is just unfortunate. Accidents happen, and it's just unfortunate. But I don't think you could put any blame on Nick Nurse. As for the actual play itself by the Raptors, so like I said earlier, there are a lot of positives in this game. The Raptors matched a season high with 36 assists. They had previously recorded that same total against the Charlotte Hornets, who they're going to see this weekend. A lot of that was the starting unit. The starting unit was incredible. Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet together, the two point guards playing in the two point guard lineup, recorded 20 assists. And then you got Pascal Siakam with 5. Marc Gasol was making a lot of great passes. Even the guys off the bench were doing a good job of setting people up. And it was just a night where the Raptors just completely eviscerated the Knicks. And look, like I said, the Knicks were just embarrassing themselves tonight. But the Raptors still played really good basketball. They moved really well. They're very unselfish. One thing you definitely notice when Kawhi is not in the game is just that the ball movement, you know, goes up. And it's nothing against Kawhi. It's not like he's holding this team back or anything like that. It'd be completely ridiculous to say that Kawhi has been incredible. But Kawhi is a guy who likes to, you know, survey the floor. He likes to size up his man. And he's always going to get a good shot, right? There's no complaints about giving Kawhi a bunch of shots and he's going to give you 27 points on like 50% shooting. That you will take that any day of the week. But, you know, when he's not in the game, it really does put an imperative on the Raptors to play at a different style. And, you know, they have consistently done that. You take Kawhi out, who does stop the ball. Admittedly, he's not a ball stopper, right? It's not like a Carmelo Anthony situation, but he does stop the ball like most great players do. And you replace that with a second point guard in Fred VanVleet, who's also looking to make plays. And this is the kind of the result you get, right? Like you get, you know, a lot of passes being made, a lot of great sequence, a lot of open threes. The Raptors shot 17 of 40 from deep. Remember early in the season when the Raptors couldn't hit any threes at all? Like this is a nice, bit of regression to the mean for a Raptors team that does have a lot of good shooters on it. VanVleet coming back really does help the Raptors. He has been money from deep. He's always been a really good catch and shoot 3-point guy. VanVleet, I thought, actually was the most impressive player for the Raptors tonight, just because you know, he showed some off the dribble stuff. Like, I mean, you know, Mitchell got embarrassed early in the game when he got switched on to VanVleet. VanVleet sort of crossed him up, had an opportunity to step back for the three, but instead, you know, he takes Mitchell off the dribble and then uses his body to shield himself from the shot blocker while finishing with a lefty floater. And it was a very, very nice move, very impressive. And that actually gave Mitchell his third foul in 5 minutes in basically the first quarter. So VanVleet was great, and he has consistently been, you know, well, maybe not consistently because it's only been two games. But, you know, in the two games back, it's really illustrated how much the Raptors have missed him. And hopefully he can keep this form because, he looks way healthier, right? Like VanVleet, part of the reason why he was disappointing early in the season was that he was battling a couple of minor injuries. You know, he had like a bad back. He had some bad fingers. Like it was, you know, it's just really banged up. And I think, you know, missing basically the past month to recover from that thumb injury has really allowed him to sort of get healthy and get right. And it's also a credit to Fred that, you know, he's kept himself in shape. His conditioning is very good for a guy that has missed a month. And that speaks to his professionalism, that he was able to keep up and maintain his condition after missing all these games. So VanVleet was great. If I had to give out 3 stars, VanVleet would be the number one star tonight. 13 points, 12 assists, like I said earlier. 5 of 9 shooting, 2 of 4 from deep. Second star, I got to give that to Kyle Lowry, who did play really well before he got hurt. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, it's the usual Kyle stuff. He does so many things for this team. The 3-point shooting is really promising. I just really hope that he's healthy, because it would really be a shame if Kyle went down in such a meaningless game, to be honest. And then the third star, in terms of who else was impressive, I mean, Pascal Siakam had a great game, and he's totally deserving of it. Pascal was sort of, you know, very quietly hit a bit of a bump in the road, although I'm very confident he could turn it around. Pascal was great today, got a lot of transition buckets, you know, hit a corner three. You know, him and VanVleet together are just, they know how to play together. There's a very nice two-man combination between Siakam and VanVleet. But I really want to highlight Jeremy Lin, and, you know, mostly that's because Jeremy has been struggling really badly as a Raptor. Just, he's been a disappointment. You know, it wasn't like expectations were sky high. I don't think people were expecting Lin's sanity to be replicated by any means. But the expectation was that he was going to come in and be a serviceable backup, because that's what he has done, right? He's been that his entire career. He's been a decent player off the bench, especially offensively. And he just hasn't been able to do that with the Raptors. Today, I mean, again, it was against the Knicks, so that's a big caveat, but Jeremy Lin finishes with 20 points and 7 of 11 shooting, hits a three, gets to the free throw line 7 times, and he did all that in 27 minutes, and this is probably his most impressive performance as a Raptor. I think what this game really showed was that Lin is very effective going to the basket, and he had a lot of opportunities today with the floor space and also with the Knicks defense that just, quite honestly, just wasn't interested. But Lin was able to get to the basket, he was able to finish, and he was able to show what actually makes him a valuable player. Now, is this game going to change anything in terms of his place in a playoff rotation? I don't think so. I really do think that if Kyle and VanVleet are healthy, and hopefully they both are, then they're going to just cover all 48 minutes at point guard and also some minutes at backup shooting guard as well. Both Van Vliet and Lowry can play off the ball. And there kind of just isn't too much of a need for Lin to play any minutes, really, at least any significant minutes. But, I mean, it's never a bad thing if Lin can rediscover his form. He does bring an element of the attack off the dribble and going to the basket that, you know, quite honestly, Lowry and Van Vliet don't always have. It's not like Lowry and Van Vliet can't drive to the basket. I mean, I just described how, you know, Van Vliet had that impressive layup over Mitchell Robinson. And obviously, Lowry can be a bulldog and get to the basket and stuff. But Lin does have the ability. He's bigger than both Lowry and Van Vliet in terms of his height. And he does have a quicker first step where he can actually get to the rim and finish. But yeah, I mean, realistically, I think the Raptors would prefer players who can shoot. And Lowry and Van Vliet are two of the Raptors' best shooters. And Lin, quite honestly, has proven to be one of the Raptors' worst. But, you know, again, it's good to see Lin get his confidence. And who knows, man? You never know. In a playoff series, a guy gets into foul trouble. All of a sudden, you might have to dust off Jeremy Lin. You might have to rely on him to hold the fort down for like 3-4 minutes at a time. And Jeremy's a hard worker. He's going to work through his struggles. And if he does that, then he will be a nice piece for the Raptors to have, because realistically, his talent is such that he should be more productive than he would have shown so far. And hopefully there's more games like today in the coming weeks before the playoffs. A couple other things to note in terms of the Raptors. I thought Gasol did a really good job of going to the paint today. Typically, Gasol, you know, will hang around the perimeter, and he did take 5 threes in 22 minutes. That's great. He needs to keep shooting those threes. But I thought Gasol was able to creep inside a couple of times. Van Vliet did a really good job running pick and roll, sort of getting past his man, trapping his defender behind his back, creating a two-on-one situation, forcing the help, and then dishing off to Gasol for a couple of finishes. It's just nice for Gasol to mix it up a little bit, because you don't want to exclusively make him like, you know, a Brook Lopez type where he's only going to shoot threes and he's not effective inside. You know, he's not doing much inside. Like, you want Gasol to be able to do both, and he has the talent to do both. And I do prefer him in the pick and roll more than him in the post, because outside of passing out of the post, Gasol doesn't really bully anyone in the post and then get to the rim for an easy shot or dunk on somebody. Like, for the most part, Gasol is doing a turnaround fadeaway, and it's not necessarily a very efficient shot. So getting him in motion to the basket in the pick and roll scenario just gives him an easier shot, and also, you know, gives the Raptors another option where you got someone attacking the rim. So I want to see more of that from Gasol. I just generally want to see more offense from Gasol, but I thought Gasol was very good today. Danny Green was solid as usual. Pascal was great. OG is probably the other guy I want to highlight. He also really should be in the running for one of the stars, but because the Raptors couldn't play Eric Moreland, who got into super quick foul trouble, they were pressed into playing OG Anunoby at backup center for stretches. Now, he was out there with Pascal Siakam, but OG was the one guarding DeAndre Jordan on the floor. And if that's the case, then I would consider you the center if you're guarding the center. So OG did a really good job with that. Now, granted, DeAndre Jordan is not a very good post player, even though he tries to, but he tried to post up. DeAndre Jordan was 0-2 tonight. Oh, I didn't even see that. But yeah, he was 0-2, and both times he was trying to post up OG, and OG, you know, didn't give up any ground in the post. We already know that OG is a very versatile defender. That's a large part of what makes him an attractive prospect for the Raptors, because, you know, he's shown, even as a rookie last year, there were times where he was switching on to Anthony Davis, switching on to Al Horford, and really holding his own. And he's really, really strong for a wing player. He's got very thick and powerful legs, and you know, he's also got good length as well. People forget that he has a 7-foot-plus wingspan as a wing player, and so he can contest shots. And I thought OG was great in terms of just his post defense. He's also really good. He, as the center, you do have help defense responsibilities, and he came up with 2 blocks at the basket. So good night for OG overall. And then also, I mean, he missed a couple of open threes, but he was very effective inside. A lot of hustle. He also was able to work the pick and roll and get a couple of buckets that way. So great night for OG. 14 points, 3 rebounds. Also playing backup center. Like, that's impressive for a second-year player to randomly start playing backup center and do a good job of it. So good night for the Raptors overall. Hoping for the best for Kyle Lowry. In terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, which if you weren't familiar with the podcast, the previous iterations of this podcast, Gerald Henderson Award is given to the opposing player who normally is a very quiet, unassuming guy, but has randomly come alive against the Raptors. Gerald Henderson, it's named after Gerald Henderson because Gerald Henderson was literally just a run-of-the-mill average shooting guard against 29 other teams. But then whenever he played the Raptors, he would turn into some kind of combination of Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. So that's why it's named after Gerald Henderson. Really, there's a good case to be called the Ish Smith Award this year because Ish Smith has just killed the Raptors. But the Gerald Henderson Award tonight goes to Alonzo Trier, who had 22 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 31 minutes. Alonzo Trier is... He's interesting. He can definitely score the ball. I'm not sure if he's more Dion Waiters or more Lou Williams. I'm not quite sure. One of them is a useful bench player. The other guy is kind of a meme. You know, we'll see sort of where Alonzo sort of fits in. But I like him. He's very aggressive. He attacks hard. He plays really hard. Defensively, he doesn't do much. But again, this is a guy who's going to be a bench scorer, and he could score. So good game by Alonzo. And yeah, that does it for the podcast. As a reminder, please subscribe to the Raptors Over Everything podcast feed. That's where you will find both the reaction podcasts moving forward. That's going to be published after every game. And also the Raptors Recap podcast, which will be a weekly show that breaks down some of the larger themes. To give you a sneak peek into what's coming with the Raptors Recap podcast, tomorrow I'm going to speak with Blake Murphy of The Athletic. And, you know, talk to him about, you know, probably the Kyle Lowry injury and how it affects the team, and also just get behind the scenes look at, you know, what's going on in Memphis. I know he's just had a nice profile out there on Jonas Valanciunas and everything that he's doing in Memphis and how his career has really taken another leap since the trade. So Blake's going to be a great source of insight for the team. So look forward to that. So again, you can check that out on the Raptors Over Everything podcast feed. It's going to house multiple shows within that, but just go into your Spotify account, go into wherever you find your podcast, look for Raptors Over Everything, hit subscribe, and also rate and review as well, please. And yeah, thank you for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.